I want to take a couple weeks, and I literally want to teach on some of the doctrines in the Bible, teachings on Satan himself, the devil. So I hope this is eye-opening for you. This week, I'm going to probably talk more about the devil than anything. And next, I'm going to lean after this on, then what does the Bible say? How can we have some serious victory here? So let's just be praying that God would use this series to open our eyes. It's easy today to get very confused, whatever you hear. And I scan all the time, all the news, all the platforms, and there's so many things that are absolutely just not true. And in Christianity, we've been bombarded with so much information. There's so many messages out there that I think we lose sight of God's glory, of who God is and giving him honor. And somehow we are convinced that we exist and God exists for Mike Blake's happiness. And it's just not true. People leave all the time and say, they'll leave church and literally just say, man, I'm just not happy here anymore. Well, good for you. If that's what it's all about, you should have let me know that so we could rearrange church around what you want in your happiness or what I want in my happiness. That's one reason I know the Bible is God's book, because this book has never really made me feel that good. Normally, it's like Billy Sunday said, I always feel like it's, if you ever grab a cat and just pet his hair backwards, see how long you can do that until he, attacks you. And the whole point is, the cat can turn around, the cat can repent, right? And the Bible tends to sometimes rub us and irritate us. But listen, this is ultimately for God's glory, and it's for my good. It's for your good. We got to be able to take it. Everybody, we want the good out of the Bible, don't we? But we don't want when it speaks against my life. And this is one of the greatest ploys that the devil has come forward with in the church today. We live in the church age called Laodicea. It's the rights of the people. Everybody thinks they have rights. This is what I think. This is what I think. Hey, and listen, who gives an absolute crap what you think? Who gives a crap what I think? What's God think? What's he think about the subject, right? This is not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's about what God and his word says. So speak of the devil. Let's talk about him. Did you know in every story, there's four characters? In every story out there, there's four characters. There's the victim. The victim's always the one that needs the rescue, right? The one that needs help. The one that says there's no way out. That's the victim. Well, the next character in every good story is the villain. The villain is the one that really, usually based upon their life experience, what they'll do is they'll plan to destroy everybody else. Basically, a villain is going to take vengeance on a world that's hurt them. That's usually what the villain is. They always make others feel small. So in every story, there's a victim, there's a villain, then there's a hero. The hero is the one that brings the rescue. They have faced challenges, but it has transformed them. They're here to not destroy the world that's hurt them. They're here to bring benefit to the world and to bring rescue to people that desperately need it. So three characters so far, victim, villain, then there's the hero. And the fourth one is a good one. It's the guide. The guide in every story, it's the one that keeps the hero kind of going, right? To help, to assist the one find the meaning. The hero can find the meaning. That way they can go doing the rescue for the victim. So every story has those four characters. And so a villain, of course, the villain we're talking about in Scripture is going to be the devil. A villain is an antagonist. It's the antagonist of your story who the motivation and actions behind a villain is to oppose the protagonist. It drives the plot of the story. So as God is moving this direction, you have to have a villain that opposes it. It's what makes the story happen. And what's oddly crazy about this is the villain has got to be, listen at this. When people write stories, let me use a little writer's term here. When you craft a villain in a story, they need to be deliciously evil, but still wholesome enough that they're convincing. They've got to be so evil and yet so whole and convincing that makes the best villains. Speak of the devil. We're going to talk about Satan in the Bible. He is all of those things. He is the villain. Matter of fact, we know how this whole thing started. It started when God was on his throne. There was cherubs around and there was a covering cherub on top. Five cherubs, these angelic type of beings that literally was there to reflect God's light. There was nobody closer to the God of the universe than Lucifer. Lucifer's name means light bearer. This was the devil and Satan before he had chosen to take his focus off of God. When he decided to not give God the glory that was due his name, he wanted some of it for himself. That's when we had problems, and that's when the villain came to be. In Isaiah 14, matter of fact, it's neat that the Bible even calls Lucifer, it says you were beautiful. And the day that you were created, you were absolutely beautiful. And see, beautiful. And that beauty is very deceptive, especially after he took sin on, right? Because he still has that beauty. We just got to get out of our heads the devil being like this wicked, you know, like just horned creature with the tail that's always going to show up. He normally doesn't show up that way, even though there's some things in the Bible about a dragon that's red, got the tail, and all those type of things. But if you're in Isaiah chapter 14, it says in Isaiah chapter 14, it says in verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" So calls him Lucifer. He was so close to God that he reflected God's light. God is light. Lucifer was this big angelic being with four faces, all these jewels and a breastplate on him. And so when the light hit, man, bam, we got a rainbow there, you know. But verse 13 says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." Now, this is the fall of Lucifer, right? This is how he became the villain. He was bearing God's light, but then it says in verse 13, he said in his heart, and by the way, this is a good for you and me, because this is where all sin begins, in the heart. When one day he just said in his heart, you know, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times the number of death, Lucifer says, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. So he is bearing the light in heaven, and all of a sudden the Bible says he falls because he said in his heart, I. Notice the villain is very self-centered. It was Lucifer's job not to be the light, but to reflect the light. And so since he said in his heart, he will exalt his throne above the Most High, he became the villain. Of course, there was no human beings at this time. So he was just the villain of like the whole entire cosmos, man, of the universe. If you go to Ezekiel 28, which is the other passage which talks about the fall of Lucifer, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 28, my proof on this first point is just that Satan was very close to God. So in Ezekiel chapter 28, if you go there, it says in Ezekiel 28 and verse 16, it says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." I wanted you to see that word, covering cherub. He wasn't just a cherub around the throne of God. He hovered over it. He was a covering cherub. So when God's light went out, man, it was pretty spectacular. So I wanted to use these two, this verse and then Isaiah 14, just to show you Satan was the closest to God. It makes the best villains, don't it? It makes every story, especially if a story does so well at having two people like fight together. And then all of a sudden at the end, there's been some deception. And all of a sudden you're in a room with all your people, you know, and you're going in and they're like, guys, we've discovered there's a rat among us, you know, and they're always like, and it's always one of the team members. They sold everybody out. You know, that's why, you know, Jesus is in a room with the disciples and he's like, whoever I dip this to and hand it to, man, they're the ones going to betray me, you know. And he puts that, they don't get it. Nobody's getting it because this is a tight group of men. Like, this is the fighting group, the group that God called out of all the multitudes. He chose these 12. And so nobody would have ever guessed it until all of a sudden they go and they arrive. Jesus is in the garden and out comes Judas, and Judas walks up to him and says, ah. And Jesus calls him his friend. And what did Judas do? He kissed him. You'd never think it was a guy that close, a person that close. But that's what makes the great villains. The story turns and you're like, what? I never seen that coming. Well, we should have. It just means we're kind of not very bright. It's been that way from the beginning. This is the devil. His name was Lucifer, the light bearer. So I just, first of all, note this about the speak of the devil. The first thing we need to speak about, he was very close to God, probably as close as you can get. As close as you can get. And this is why people, you know what they do in their life, you know, when they get, you know, offended or they get hurt, it's usually somebody that's close to you. Because honestly, if a stranger says those things, who cares? It's always somebody that gets close to you that'll really give you some trouble. And so, matter of fact, I want you to mark down, if you got down that Satan was the closest to God, I also, by the way, he's never called Lucifer again because he's no longer bearing the light of God. He's always called now the devil. Like I, the five letters to his name. He's called Satan. Five letters to his name now. Why? Because now it's death. Did you notice how God told him when God was putting judgment on him, God was just like, and I will destroy you. That's his end. God says, I'm bigger, I'm badder than you, I will destroy you. But in the meantime, the Bible says the devil, the villain in our story, lives his life for utter destruction. That's what he lives for. And I'm going to show this to you today. But so Satan was closest to God. The next thing I'd like you to write down is this. Satan is definitely the source of all anarchy and rebellion in the universe. By the way, what we just looked at was the first sin ever you'll find. Not amongst humans, but in the cosmos, in the universe. It was actually when the covering cherub Lucifer took his eyes off of the light and just put them on himself. He's like, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. You know, there's only one that can sit on that throne. Only one. You even find in the Bible, a lot of times people want to say like, well, I want to do this and do this. And Jesus likes like, can't be done, dude. You can't serve both. It's going to be one or the other. But you know what? Satan sells us that you can do both. You can do whatever you want to do. You can make all your own decisions. And then you can also come to church and sing One Way Jesus. He allows us to believe that. God gives us a will, but Satan, man, is the source. Notice the word we read in Isaiah 14, fallen. We've seen the exalting of his own throne. I am not happy where I'm at. I will make my own decisions. I will do what I want to do. That's why to even ask an adult to, hey, do what the Bible says. Have you ever thought, you know, nobody wants to have a babysitter. Have you ever thought about like seeking counsel? Grab a group of godly men and say, hey, guys, I'm here because I need some help. I need your counsel on this thing. I'm not sure I'm seeing things straight. Very few people do that because I'm a grown man. I'm a grown person. Nobody will tell me what to do. Guys, I don't know if you realize it, but that's the words in the heart of the first sin in the universe. In your heart, you put the focus on I. I deserve better than this. I'm smarter. I'm better. I don't have to take this. We get to... That's the first words out of the villain's mouth. You're on the verge of becoming a villain. In life, you know. Victims tend to do that. If victims don't get victory and become a hero, you know what they do? They become villains. Hurt people always hurt other people. Always. It's crazy. It's Lucifer. It's the villain. It's the one that's against Christ and God. So the source, we know that the source of all this. By the way, one of our favorite verses in discipleship at the very beginning we teach is John 8:44, which says this. John 8:44 says this. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. See, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Did you catch that? There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what makes a lie so convincing is what? It's this close to the truth. That's the lies that people could... For real? You know, some people tell stories and they're just liars, and you sit back like, I feel sorry for that girl. She's just a liar. She lies all the time. Nobody believes what she says. This villain, the devil, is smooth. He'll sell it, and that's what makes this book so dangerous. Do you know how many nutballs out there believe different things about the Bible? I can make a decision tomorrow that could be in total rebellion against God. And if I go looking for some agreement, I can most likely find it. When you got this many words in a book, and that's what people do. They make up doctrines, they make up things. And I have people, they'll tell me this. They'll tell me that, man, I'm in the Word and I've been praying, and man, I'm just pretty convinced this is what I, and I, man, you're missing it, man. Satan is the source of all anarchy and rebellion. And so now his job is, once he committed the first sin, and now God says, and your end's going to be destruction. So it's like, guess what? Misery always enjoys company. Always. And so we know that Satan is the villain. And what he does next is he shows up when God created mankind. He shows up right in the garden. Because there was going to be an army of people on planet Earth. And he's like, I will get their attention. You know what's crazy about this story? What's crazy about this story is when you look at what happens in, like in Revelation chapter 12 in verse 4, it says, because the devil, his tail drew a third part of the stars, which are angels. His tail drew a third part of the stars, meaning when he was up in heaven and God said, you'll exalt your throne. He goes, that's right. I'll exalt my throne. The Bible teaches that one third of the angelic beings decided they would go with him. His tail drew a third part of the angel. You know what that tells me? The villain is a great influencer. The number one. He's the first influencer. That's funny today. Everybody wants to be an influencer. I just want to influence people. You know? Well, that's exactly what he did. He influenced and he drew these angelic, which is where we get our demonic forces from and demons, right? In Isaiah 14, he says this. He goes, and when you fell, you went down and you'll weaken the nations. It's exactly what he's done. He's the villain. He's going to oppose all that is right. That's what he does, man. Speak of the devil, man. This is exactly what he does. You know, do you ever notice, if you look in Scripture, and you'll, you know, follow him all through the Old Testament. It's just funny where he shows up. And you would just always think he's like trying to sell people. I'm just like, hey, I'll tell you what you ought to do is you ought to sleep with a prostitute. You find that very few times in the Bible. Because most men wouldn't. Most people in this room, you know, if heroin was presented to you with a syringe and here you go, dude, your problems will go away for a bit. This, I'm telling you, it'll make you feel better. Just stick this in your arm. Most people would reject that. Now, there's some that would take it in desperation. Some people, or the, especially people are like, I know how that feels. And they're not lying to you. I mean, addiction's a beautiful thing. Really. Because that's what's at stake here. I mean, that's my point today. So Satan being the villain. Hey, do you remember in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is getting ready to start his public ministry. So he's getting ready, and all of a sudden the Spirit leads him to the wilderness. And all of a sudden, who shows up? The villain. The hero is getting ready to start doing some work. And the villain immediately shows up. And it's called the temptation of Christ. The very thing that the villain is trying to do here, it's trying to distract, it's trying to oppose. He does the same thing to human beings. So I guess we all need to know today that, yes, this is the villain of the universe, the villain against God. It's a villain against the Lord Jesus Christ. He opposes everything that the Bible says because this is a book of truth. John 8 says he's a liar. So he'll twist this. That's what he does. He twists the Bible. That's it. You would think just like, there was a time when Christianity's like, we need to ban alcohol. And the prohibition kicked in. It's ruining lives, man. It's destroying lives. And the government was all against it because it was messing people up until they figured out that they could make money on it. Now they're 100% for it. Gambling destroys lives. It's been proven. You look at the stats. It destroys lives. And states have said for years, we will not allow it here, so it was illegal. So they started finding places where they could sneak it in. That's what the enemy does. Now, it's boldly out there. So the state realized that, you know what? We'll just tax it. They pull in so much money, we'll be able to fund what we want to do, and so they'll allow it, even if it destroys lives. Isn't it crazy? And the love of money is still the root of all evil, the Bible says. People love it. They want more of it. Ephesians chapter 6 tells Christians, put on the armor of God. Why do we need to put the armor of God on? I think I can match the average grown man. Why do I need armor? Oh, because we're dealing with the wiles of the devil. That's what the Bible says. That's Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to write that down, verse 11. The wiles, the deception of the devil. That's why you need the armor on. So we know this, that basically God said your end by choosing Lucifer, your end by choosing yourself, looking at yourself, wanting to exalt your throne above God, your end's going to be destruction. So therefore, while he lives and breathes, his goal is going to be to destroy and take as many people with him as he can. That's why at first it started with angelic beings. So he's got a third of heaven with him. And we know the principles of the Bible and the sons of God. That's not this message, but it's a beautiful thing. That's why we're winning people to Christ. When you win somebody to Christ, they become sons of God, the very title given to angels in the Old Testament. It's our job. We're actually replacing those third fallen. And as soon as it's filled, life is over for us. God's got a big plan. But this villain here right now is going to take as many people with him. And on planet Earth, his MO, man, his average pattern, his average behavior is destruction. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's seeking whom he may what? Devour. That's what he does. He does it with fear too. It shakes everybody up, doesn't it? It sure does. That's why one of his MO is today? News. Watch the headlines. Watch it. Read it. And it's all like predicated on fear. But God don't give the spirit of fear. Then who that is that then? The villain. Hey, you need to be educated. Educate yourself. You know how it is. Every time I research on the internet for anything, I'm pretty convinced I got AIDS and I'm dying of cancer now. Well, that's not true, but you went after the information and it sold it to. It'll always sell me on fear. Because if you can tell somebody, because you know what it is. They get you to fear and then all of a sudden they'll be like, I know you're afraid right now, but for $10.99, this will help relieve that fear. It's marketing. That's all it is. That's why it exists. Why does the internet exist? Everybody who has an Amazon Prime account, people are dropping Amazon Prime like crazy now. You know why? They're throwing ads on everything. I don't think it's come full, but it's coming. Watch it in the next month. It's going to have ads on everything. But for a small fee, they can remove them again. You think they just stumbled upon this? You think they're going broke, so they got to raise more money? It was in the plans from the beginning. That's what villains do. It's all about this. Satan in this story is the villain. He's all about destruction. I want to show you a couple verses. One's going to be in John chapter 10. You might be in John 8:44. Just flip over a couple of chapters. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus is talking about the shepherd and all that type of thing and robbers and I am the door. But look at verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says this, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Do you see the difference? It's the contrast between the devil and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One is coming to steal. He's coming to kill. He is literally coming to destroy. One's coming so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. This is why in Luke chapter 9, verse 56, it says, the Son of Man comes not to destroy. That's the enemy. Now listen, if you choose sin, God will always give you an opportunity. If you choose that, your end's going to be destruction. But God set that up in place, but God says, hey, that ain't the point. The point is the rescue. Don't take the rescue, it's on you. But Satan is out to destroy. He's the villain. He's the source of all rebellion on the planet. He was very close to God. And guys, listen to me. He's very powerful. Like, I can't even emphasize this. Like, so powerful that, you know, I like Jesus even says that he beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Like, bam, you know, lightning strikes. We're like, whoa, that was powerful, wasn't it? Yeah, that's exactly how God, that's how much more powerful God is than Satan. Bam, you're done, you know, kicked him out, it's over. But in Acts 26:18, he says, you know, as they're giving the gospel, he says, I want to see people turn from the power of Satan, the power of Satan, to the light. Darkness is powerful. Let me give you just a little taste of darkness. Just a little. Depression. Somebody starts talking negative and you start thinking negative. You're having trouble with your marriage and all you can think is negative thoughts. Every show you watch is negative and husbands and wives are at each other and fighting and you're watching this and negative, 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 negative. Before it's over, you'll be divorced. That's how powerful, and it starts just so little. Yeah, you know the creepiest thing about snakes? Everything. Everything about snakes are creepy. But the Bible says Lucifer, once he fell and became Satan, he's a serpent. He gets this title in the Bible. What's creepy about snakes is not that they can strike or they slither, none of that. The creepiest, and people's like, well, you know, the poisonous ones, you know, the way their eyes are slanted. I'm not going to look one in the eyeball. Like, let's check him out, see if he's poisonous. The creepiest thing about snakes is not a one of them blinks. Snakes don't have eyelids. They're always looking. That's why the Bible says Satan compares him to a lion. He's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. And about the time you close your eyes and nod off, he never has. He's always looking, man. 24/7, he's on it. So powerful. There's a verse in the book of Jude. Most of you, I think if you've been in church a while, will know it. The fighting angel that Israel has, his name is Michael. Good name. Michael, Israel's fighting archangel, very powerful. And the Bible says he would not even bring a railing accusation against the devil. A fighting spiritual angelic being, he wouldn't bring a railing accusation against him. But he says, the Lord rebuke you. The strength behind it is the Lord, not me, not, you know, it's, to me, it's like being a referee in the NFL. And now they allow women to do it. So there's several women professionals, and by the way, they're super good. But what cracks me up is you got this little lady out there, and she's in this like zebra costume, and she's out there, and she's blowing whistles, sometimes throwing flags, and all of a sudden, you know, some guy disagrees with a call that was made, and they come over, and you got this 380-pound, like, defensive lineman. He's over there like, I didn't hold him, you know, and this lady's like this tall, and this guy's like, I'm like, he's going to eat her. He's going to pick her up and just eat her. But all of a sudden, she's had enough of it, and then all of a sudden, the dude reaches out. You're not allowed to touch a ref in the NFL. You say, hey, ma'am, listen. She'll pull this yellow. And sometimes even say, if you touch a ref, actually, it's an ejection. You're done. You're ejected from the game. What cracks me up, though, is why is this guy, he is so mad. This is you and me, like against the devil. He is so powerful. He can bench way more than we can. He's so tougher than we are. But you know about you and me, what we have. The only thing we have that's different is we have an authority. The God of the universe lives inside of us, right? We know what the book says. That's the only thing we have on him. If you want to tangle with him, you will get destroyed. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. I throw the verses out like Jesus. Even Jesus, when he taught us something, is when he put on human flesh, the devil approaches him, and all he could do is spit scripture. Whoop, 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 whoop. He would constantly bust it out there, and the devil would be like, he was going to take advantage of the humanness, right? And try to destroy him. And all the Lord did was like, well, I'll tell you what, dude. Throwing the scriptures, man. And that's you and me, right? That's the authority that's inside you and me. We have that. We're not stronger than the devil. I just wanted to make a good point if you're taking notes on this. This villain's powerful. Satan is super powerful. We've seen that he influenced people like crazy. And guys, let me get you to this, because I'm going to wrap it up with one nice point. And Satan, his goal is to destroy you. But you know how he's going to destroy you? People do get addicted to drugs. That is a way he can bring destruction, or gambling, or get into some sort of addiction or habit that's just going to mess your life up. That happens for sure. But his goal is actually simple. And we already read it. He's in heaven, and he's just like, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. Why does he want to exalt his throne above the Most High? I will ascend the sides of the north. I. Because his life was to reflect the light of the one on the throne. The one had the glory to bring him honor. That was his job. His job was to worship the Almighty. But he wanted to claim that for himself. I'll exalt my throne above the Most High. He was so convincing, he talked a third of the angels to come with him. He influenced them. Wow. Unbelievable. That's why in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus is being tempted, he finally told Jesus straight up in verse 7. He just said, let me tell you, this could all end right now. This difficulty you're going through, I know you haven't eaten for a while. Jesus, in the human side of him, and the devil's poking him. He's poking him and poking him. And finally, the devil just says, this could end right now if you would just bow down and worship me. That, he finally come out with the heart of what he wanted. Worship. That's it. What is worship, by the way? That's like one of those big words, like giving God glory. Somebody define glory for me. That's a tough one. Worship. Attention. It's very similar to the word addiction. Because what these words define is what gets our devotion. It's what gets our attention. It's what I'm going to dedicate myself to. Do you see it? That's worship. Just simply, he wants worship. And guys, but somehow you think, that dude worships the devil. That's what, and you get on YouTube and look up guys in prison that worship the devil. And they'll have tattoos, and some of them will split their tongue to look like a snake's tongue. And they'll do things. That guy right there killed 5 people and ate 4 of them. That guy, they got even kids in juvenile, and they're like, these are devil worshipers. Guys, do you know how? That's less of a group than people that claim to change their gender. And people would say, oh, they're devil worshipers. That dude killed a bunch of animals and put their blood everywhere and then killed people and they ate them all. Yeah, that happens. We've seen movies on it, right? Just look that stuff up. And we just think that is devil worship. But the reality is, when sin took place in the throne room, in the abode of God, is when Lucifer was bearing the light, giving glory and worship and attention to the one that deserved it. And all of a sudden he looked at himself and said in his heart, I am better than this. I will exalt my throne. It was literally the turning of his attention. Did you know Peter's on the water? He's like, man, Jesus, if that's you, man, this is freaky, man. Just let me come out there. And Jesus said, come. Peter gets right out on water and he's looking at Jesus. He's like, all of a sudden, the wind, the waves, he immediately, as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, the Bible says he was sinking like a stone. And what did he say? He cried out, save me! Because immediately he lost it. And it was just a glance away. Why sometimes we think worship is like, yeah, that guy, yeah, that girl. Yeah, she like worships the devil or something, man. She's addicted to stuff and she killed her husband. Ain't that crazy? Guys, that is a crazy story. Why do the crazy stories always grab us? That's not like everyday life for the most part, right? Jesus Christ is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We sing it. We teach our kids. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, you can't serve two. You can only serve one. So then seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek everything that God is and what his word says. Seek to give him glory. Your light to reflect his light. You don't have any of your own. Isn't that funny? Even the light that rules the night in Genesis 3, he said there's a greater light, or light to rule the day and a light to rule the night. And the one, of course, if you look at the darkness, you look at the day and the night defined, you'll see good and evil. The very light that even shines and rules the night sky is only a counter and a mockery of the real one. That's all it can do. It has no light of its own. It's a picture of darkness. It's a picture of evil. And so Satan's goal is literally just to get our attention. Guys, there's a story in Joshua 24 where Joshua says this. Okay, guys, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. So you got to choose. Where's your attention going to go? Who's going to get your glory and worship? You choose this day. But what we never do is teach right before that what he said. He says this. Hey, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, who convinced him of that? We're living in a day and age to stand in church, to hold that Bible in your hands and claim that it's true. It's considered evil. It's considered wrong. Like we're considered just look out there what people say about it. And people using them phrases and say things like that. Oh, you know what it is? It's the us versus them. That's an evil mentality. Who told you that? Where did you get that from? Because that almost sounds good. And yet you go to iron that out with Scripture and you're like, that's the villain. He has taken truth and he has just put a little spin on it. It just a little bit, and people buy it. Because he knows if he goes totally against it, people are like, oh, that's the devil right there. No. So he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then you choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a choice that we make. Who are we going to give our devotion to? Who's getting our dedication? Who's getting our addiction? Hey, guys, I hope you're a great employee, but if you are devoted to your job and you are not devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a devil worshiper, man. Your attention's not seeking God's kingdom first. I am dedicated to my wife. If I'm dedicated to my wife more than I'm dedicated to my Savior, he's got me. My attention's wrong. My devotion is to my two girls. He is a devoted father. If I am more devoted to my girls that I am the Savior of the universe, then who am I worshiping? You're worshiping your daughters? Well, the Bible don't say it quite like that. Basically, if I'm not seeking God's kingdom first, the alternative is my worship and attention is not where it should be. That's exactly what the enemy wants from me. Our devotion, our addiction, which you only find one time in the Bible when you find it, the house of Stephanas. Oh, yeah, that, what a devoted marriage. That guy was devoted to his kids. Well, it says in that passage, that household was addicted to the ministry of the saints, bringing God glory. That whole household, they lived addicted, devoted. Their dedication, their worship was to the God of the Bible, and he was going to be honored. That flag was clear at the top of the pole. Everybody knew what this household stood for. And you know what most people and the neighbors would say? That's evil. They would twist that thing, because that's what the villain does. It's got a twist on it, and they're like, and they would say things like that, my gosh, that's extreme. How many people in here have got saved? And you have family members that say, you're going to church again? You're always there. Because that's where my devotion lies. That's why I'm dedicated to bringing God glory and worshiping him. And I'm not making a point saying that every time the doors are open, you should be in here. I wouldn't say that. Please. Especially if you've got a job. You're going to get fired if you miss all those days, you know? But now, there is a point where if your job is hindering, you know, we've seen it many a times here. Well, we've seen Nate adjust his schedule many times. He's like, I need to be there. When I'm not there enough, I can tell it fades my life away, right? We know that. So check this out. Satan simply wants our worship. He wants our attention. This is the villain of the story. And don't think that you leave here and he just wants you to, you know, run your car into the side of a pole. He wants you to become then get addicted to painkillers. That's what he wants. That could destroy your life. He would take that, but he knows that's probably not what it's going to do. So if you look in Scripture, the way Satan works, it's smoother than that. See, nobody knows God like him. He looks like him all the time. He does. He puts on him. He quotes from him all the time. This is how he works. This is his MO, right? This is what he does. It reminds me of play action in football. What do? Put! And when the ball snaps, play action is you go back and you simply smooth it, because everybody thinks Christian McCaffrey is going to run. They think it every time because he's a beast. And when the quarterback goes, whoosh, and everybody's going to Christian McCaffrey and the ball's over here, what's he going to do now? He's got a couple options. And he might even fake a pass and then run it. You're like, what? That's just called play action. That's how the game works. It's based upon, a lot of it is based upon a deception. That's exactly what you do. You deceive people so they don't know what's going on. They can't read it. Even wide receivers do it all the time. What do? They stop and everybody thinks, get on him. They're going to throw it. He'll do, bop. And then he goes for the long. Happens all the, you just watch the game. And this is exactly how the enemy works. It's smooth. There's an offense and a defense. The devil's just smooth. So smooth. The Bible says he's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. He deceives the whole world, Revelation 12 says. He's a beguiler, meaning he leads people from truth. He causes them to stray. Guys, be careful. If common sense contradicts faith, take the faith. This is where people say, are you stupid? No, I'm just worshiping God. I just believe what the Creator said. Dude, that makes no sense. A lot of things in the Bible made no sense. I don't know who in the world would build a boat when there was no need for it. They'd never even seen rain yet. Building a boat, well, that's just what God said to do. A lot of things don't make sense that God would put out there. But I'm telling you, the enemy is so deceptive. He's so smooth. He tempts. We've seen that, right? A temptation. You know what a temptation is? He'll just solicit you to sin. God will never do that. God will never solicit you to sin. That's how you know it's the enemy. He's always testing people. And we've seen it with Jesus himself, right? And Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Remember what he said? I like the wording he used. Who hath filled thy heart to lie? See where it started? Just where it did when Lucifer was up in heaven. He said in his heart, I will exalt my throne. It's always here. That's why worship's here. Worship's not here. Worship's not here. Physically, you might do that. But real worship's here. That's why sometimes we don't always worship in music, do you? No, that's just one way we can. It's here. And that's why we remember that. Because what happens is if you want to worship something else, it begins here too. What's got your heart captivated? What takes your attention? Where is your dedication? Where is it at? I'm not going to lie, man. I used to hate discipleship too on Sunday nights. Because I would have to come in and miss the end of the afternoon games. And then as I was teaching, the Sunday night game started. I'm not lying, man. I hated it. And you know what I did? I want to live my life to worship the one true God, the God of the Bible. I'd be in there, and right before I stepped out to deliver, I'd look and I'd watch the game. I'd have it on my desk while I was finishing up my last little notes, watching it. And I'd go in there, and sometimes I'd look over, and there'd be, I remember when Sam was in there, that dude, I'd look him on his phone sometimes. I was like, who's winning? You know, what verse is that? He's like, 24:21. Got it. It's a great verse in the Bible, isn't it? He wants to solicit us to do the wrong thing. And so, whatever gets our attention, that's a simple... Guys, I want to make this more simple than we've been taught that, you know, it's really just that simple. That my favorite word that defines the devil in Scripture is the word hinder. Because simply, anything we should worship God, give Him glory, and anything that would hinder that is worshiping the devil. So the Bible says. Hinder. Satan wants to, you know, he just wants to sift you. He's slowly going to sift you and get your attention. Yeah, and he's the accuser and all those. But if you look, I got a whole list of the book of Acts when the church was going forward. Every chapter, three times in every chapter, God would go this way and you would see the enemy do something. And it would just go contrary to it. It's like, what's going to get our attention here? My gosh. And they would have a goal, you know. And that's exactly how it worked. The devil's so smooth. You remember that lady? She went out and she bought herself a really, really nice dress. Spent a lot of money on it. Her husband comes home from work and she walks out of the bedroom. She's like, he goes, where'd you get that? She said, well, I bought it for the dinner party that's coming up. And he said, how much did you spend on that? You spent way too much money on that. And she goes, well, I didn't know what to do. I knew I needed it. He goes, honey, but you knew we didn't have the money. He said, well, what you needed to do as a Christian godly woman, you just needed to say, when you had that temptation, get behind me, Satan. And she says, well, I put the dress on. And that's exactly what I said. Satan, get behind me. And he got behind me and said, I look pretty good back there too. He's smooth, man. He tells you exactly what you want to hear. You ever watch like basketball's hot right now, so everybody's you're getting ready to shoot, and the big games are on TV, especially college, because college students are crazy. I like the guy getting ready to shoot the free throw, you know, and he's getting set to go. And then you look at the crazy people, they got their shirts off, letters painted, they got bricks, you know, they're wanting people to throw bricks, man, bam, you know, so they're back, they're just going, and all that, you know, all that is it's a bunch of craziness, it's a bunch of fan fanatics going nuts, it's fun. All that commotion just to keep one guy from not focusing on that goal of the rim. That's all that is. And it works sometimes. And guys, even on the sides, they'll do stuff. You got to be careful doing down there because you can get in trouble from hindering people. Because the goal is to put the basket right in that hoop, man. So you're looking at the rim and you got to focus. And all of a sudden, in behind, there's all these people doing stuff, you know, making noise, saying things, calling out your name. Brick, brick, brick. You know, they're throwing the bricks up. They paint them cardboard signs and all them bricks over there. Just a little distraction. Because, see, at that point in time, your worship, your devotion, your dedication, your attention is the rim. And if you just get off that just a little bit, you missed. You messed up. Something maybe easy to do would be like, let me take a couple pieces of paper and say this. So the goal, I'll give this to Bo. The goal for Bo, God says, here's the goal. He gets in God's word and he knows the goal is this paper. He's got to go in this hole. That's the goal, right? I'm the villain. God's given him a goal, so Bo, go ahead. Your goal is to throw that and make it, or just get that in there, throw it in there. That's the goal. Yeah, it ain't going to happen. I am not going to allow that. Now, he also doesn't have to throw it. So you can come over here and place it in there, right? But I'm the villain. So now I'm going to give him a bunch of trouble and we're going to fight. We're going to wrestle, you know, and I don't want to do that because it could be embarrassing. So see that? The enemy works. But let me tell you something. Watch this. See the enemy. The villain hinders from the goal given God worship. So now, Bo, you can go back this way. Bo knows the goal is to get that in there. So watch this. He's heading to get it in there, and I just walk over here, and I'm going to grab Mariah by her ear, and I'm going to pull it as hard as I can. And Mariah's going to cry because it hurts. So then all of a sudden, Bo is going for the goal. Hey, wait a minute. Your daughter's crying, dude. You better take care of her. And a good dad's going to do that. But guess what? Everybody would say, that's a good dad because he's devoted to his daughter. And he missed the goal. Ain't that crazy? It's that smooth. The enemy, or it could be like this. Bo's goal is to make... Oh. Test. There we go. Here's another. Bo, your goal is to make that. Watch this. He likes Pepsi. Here, go ahead and drink that before you do that.
Thanks, bro.
Then you can put that in there. See how smooth that was? So I'm making a point here. Hindrance in worshiping the devil is not killing cats and hanging them from trees. Worshiping the devil is simply taking your eyes off that goal. He will always give you good. Now, we're Christians, so he's going to give us good things to do. And watch it, because it's subtle. It's usually I. Oh, I love you, Lord. I do love you. But when our attention, just our attention, our dedication, our devotion is not 100% in seeking God's kingdom first. If God's in second place or tenth place, he's not first. Our worship's a disaster. It's messed up. Does everybody get that? Guys, it's that simple. It sounds almost kiddish, doesn't it? But speak of the devil. He has got us convinced it's so many other things. I go to church. And that's why Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus says, hey, be careful, dude. I would never cheat on my wife, and she knows that. I'm dedicated to her. We've had tough times in our marriage, and we still stuck it out. I'm so dedicated to her, I should do a marriage retreat next week. I mean, I should speak on this because I'm that dedicated to her. Do you see that? My dedication is to her. No, my worship is to the Lord. My focus, but he'll do the littlest things to hinder. And Jesus Christ comes on the scene and says, you about fornication, cheating on your wife? Come on, Lord. You know me. I'm a dedicated man. Mike, I got another question for you. In your heart, have you ever looked at another to lust? See, he gets to the heart of the matter and says, where's your attention? Where's your focus? Just because you bring a paycheck home? Just because you don't beat your wife? You're a great husband? Actually, Mike, if you've looked at another woman to lust after, you know what that makes you? An adulterer. Man, Lord, this is difficult. It sure is. It's so simple. It's so simple. How many times have you done your, we call it our devotions in the morning? There's times I've read both of my chapters and I've had to go back and look just to be able to write something on the app because I didn't get anything. You know why? I was reading God's word and thinking of something else. And normally I wasn't thinking about smoking cigarettes. That's what people would think. I wasn't thinking about another woman. Guys, I just have a lot going on. I was thinking about my day. I was thinking about my to-do list. I was thinking about problems, and they might even be here. Might even have been your problem that I was thinking about. And God just, hey, Mike, that's their issue. You're supposed to worship me. See, attention, addiction. We need to be a church that's just a little bit more addicted. Addicted to the one, right? So speak of the devil. Next week, clear as a bell, the Bible says, here's exactly how you can have victory over this. Because we need to know that. So just remember that. The villain has been crafted, ready? Deliciously evil and yet wholesome and convincing. That's what makes him a good villain. Hey, don't sell yourself short, man. Look at your life through the lens of the Creator. And make your decisions based upon that. Be a biblical man, a biblical woman. Don't worship your spouse. What about your job? Yeah, but it's a good job. No, you don't understand. And I found that to be true. You know, people always say, well, I'm committed to, and you name something about the Lord. Hey, you're committed as long as nothing else contradicts it. If one other thing gets your attention. And last night I was trying to show my wife a funny video. And we're on our way home. And I'm doing my thing, man. And she's like, Mike, that guy in front of you, he was swerving a little bit. I think he was drunk. I'm not sure. But the guy behind me thought I was, you know. But I was trying to, she goes, seriously, wait till we get home. Hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, and the whole time, she said to me 3 or 4 times, I got all the way home, still didn't find the video. But the bottom line was this. She was right. My focus was not where it should have been. That's the whole point they're telling you not to bring your cell phone in your car. It causes a lot of accidents out there. And nor do I recommend anybody do that. Unless you're good. I'm really good at it, by the way. I used to have a BlackBerry in the day, man. I could type going down the road, you know. Them was the good old days, like less accidents. Now I got the screen videos, like it's a little bit more distracting, right? So that's the whole point. What's got your attention? What are you focused on? What are you looking at? We're supposed to worship the one true God and speak of the devil. All he wants is our attention anywhere else. Anywhere else. Jesus, thank you for your word. Lord, we're frail, we're weak. Lord, I'm easily distracted. And Lord, you know that. And today as a church, we want all of our full attention on you. God, we want to make sure our worship, that we're not drawn away. The enemy so tries to hinder us from so many good things, not just the bad. And God, a lot of us have been duped. So we're confessing that this morning. We want to be worshipers of you. Lord, help us to see the enemy as he is. Help us not to bow down in our hearts and give him any attention and any worship. It's in your name we pray. Amen.